Pinecrest Rest Haven is a book of poems by Grace Cavalieri. In the rest haven, we find Mr. and Mrs. P., who are married to each other, but simply do not remember that. And so they keep meeting and falling in love and fighting again and again. There are other characters, too. The jealous Coco and Muriel, her friend. Women who are after Mr. P., much to Mrs. P.'s dismay. We meet Betty, who thinks she's a nurse's aide, but is also a patient. Louie, who Coco and Muriel are also chasing. And a new resident, Chuck. And many others. Let us say that even with the aged, feelings remain. Anger, jealousy, betrayal, lust, greed. And while these characters in this book are driven by all those emotions, all the feelings they've ever had, they may not always know who they are while having them. And now, Pinecrest Rest Haven, a new book of poems by Grace Cavalieri. In the Pinecrest Rest Home, Mrs. P. does not know her husband. Mr. P. doesn't know his wife. But there they sit in the morning sun, waiting to be noticed. Inwardness is not what God wants, so she adjusts her chair and moves to where he sits, looking at the center of a rose, examining it for origins. They introduce themselves each day, shy at first, careful so as not to harm. Leisure and light favor them. They both like cats. Both agree it doesn't mean that that's all there is to value. Oh, no. And so the conversation grows. He plucks, from time to time, some petals, pulls them off. Infidelity is absence of desire, this unspoken, but they seem to know to stay away from others walking by. The ground shifts beneath their feet when names are called. It scares them. Giving up a fixed view, they think of each other at night while lying on their separate beds. They wonder about their strange talks, having the same memories. Wednesdays at 2 p.m., group therapy is always held in Section A. The same picture of a clown looking at him wherever he sat. The chairs in a circle, no matter which one he got. That clown watching. Mr. P. complained about having group in the craft room, though the lady wouldn't admit it was therapy or the craft room. She called it going to work. Some days he excused himself, and they went and got him anyway. He was plain tired of telling people that their husbands had really been dead for 13 years, their cars had not been stolen by staff, they were in a home for good. Oh, it was fun when he could agree with everything said, all the delusions, but he could only do it quickly. If she were picking someone up off the floor or seating someone, he'd whisper to the side, "I saw your stolen car outside, the cook was driving it away." And then, when she brought out the clay, he was sorry. "Please, no clay. Please, no art therapy. I'll never speak again." Coco was looking at her nails, and Muriel dreaming of cigarettes. He was sure. There was that quiet lady in the purple hair he thought he knew before he came here, Mrs. P. She loved it here. She must, crying the way she did at what everybody said. When the therapy lady said, "meeting needs," Mr. P. thought she said knees. He explained that 1,000 times. That's when the trouble started, and out came the crafts. When pastels were handed him, Mr. P. shouted, "Where's my car? The staff took my 1972 Dodge Dart." He shook with imagined vengeance. Therapy lady's eyes filled with tears. Here were real feelings, she thought, finally. He was back among them, saved from apathy, protesting the ravages of old age. Tomorrow in the sunroom, tomorrow, there'll be so much to do with that old friend she just met today, Mrs. P. thinks. Not all parties are for young people. Maybe she could run a finger up his arm and maybe end up on his hair. It would feel so good. In the fading side of evening, she didn't look her age, the mirror said. She couldn't quite think of this mirror's name, and she didn't even know the face it had. When breakfast was over, there would be that nice old man, Mr. P., who seemed to like her. The reflection said, not from loving, but being loved. Where'd they get these mirrors? She'd carry everything that she had in her drawers and show him. Then he'd understand who she was. He was once invisible. He told her that. Although quite well brought up, he added. Once he asked if it'd be all right to open his shirt and show her he was a person. He thought it would make him more noticeable, not especially from loving, but being loved. He thought she didn't look her age, whatever it was. They look at photos in the album, Mr. and Mrs. P. leaf through the book. Mister spoke poetry to God, but it sounds like muttering. He wished there were a leaf here instead of all these pictures. Mrs. is miffed at his disinterest, his constant rambling under his breath. There is nothing more she can do to make him love her. He wants to be alone. If she were a fish, he'd take her off the hook and throw her back in. He wants to hold a leaf, even an old one, a dry one, any kind, oak or maple. Three pieces of paper lay between them on the card table. A new game every day with Mr. P. Tell me one quality you like about me, he said. I'm entertaining, he hinted. Adventurous, he added. Oh, how it used to be. Rufous-colored birds far away. On the couch, a twisted, purplish lady sat crying that her daughter didn't want her, had gotten tired of her. People said she must have been a terrible mother to end up like this alone at Pinecrest, even on visiting day. Mrs. P. added to their list, "You are heroic." He wrote it down. He loved this game. "You have different voices, a good quality in a woman," he said. Only two pieces of paper left. Shifting chairs changed their view. Mr. Pede suggested they trigger a good memory by trying to find their first happy thoughts before age 5. His was a tiny metal cannon that actually shot matchsticks. He'd play with it in bed and in the yard day after day. It was always there, no matter how many times the family moved. Even though he wasn't in charge of packing, someone noticed him. Mrs. P. had never had much nurturing. She admitted that to the soft-spoken lady in a pink smock with a badge. In fact, she didn't know what the word meant. She thought it meant chewing on something furry. What with her former husband throwing dishes at mealtime, she was in a state of constant surprise. Not the good kind, like at birthday parties. She didn't know who she must be married to now. No one would tell her. Whose shirts was she ironing? "Are you sure you're ironing?" says the pink smock. At the circle the next day, she told everyone the answers. When soft voice asked what city began with an M, Mrs. P. shouted, "Minnesota! Anyone knows that!" And the droolers stopped and looked up. Mrs. P. had never raised her voice beyond a whisper. It felt good, very good, even when someone hissed, "That's not a city, stupid. The answer's Mississippi, stupid." No sadness today for either of them. If this is the only self you know, it isn't polite to question it. Mrs. learned to be more graceful with Mr. P., not to speak to her old friend of the Iroquois or how they lost their land. Last time, he only said the soup tasted like brackish water, so apparently he'd read history at some time. Life should be a certain way, but even the angels feel hurt and pain. She'd been told that. Once she said she'd been bruised by creation, by even being born. He asked how often they will die. She thought he had some formed ideas, but was never quite sure what they were. Does he mistake me for somebody else? Both thought the same question. Was it still the present or some time later? Nothing to run after. That was the trouble. When they sat next to the same window, they felt there was nowhere to go, that they were already there. Be careful, Muriel told Coco. When you look in another direction, that's when you fall. They stood outside Mrs. P's door, talking loud about her, accused her of having implants. By now they should be ruptured by anyone's calendar, Coco shouted through the slatted door. Muriel said big-breasted birds were known to fly high. Archaeology digs found fossils with big breastbones once flew. She saw it on Channel 12. Mrs. P knew they were after Mr. P. Not allowed to smoke, they still held pencils like cigarettes, rubbing against him in doorways like bony condors. Coco raised her voice and said, "Some people think their stuff is pure white like icing on a wedding cake." "Some people think their tumors are pearls," Muriel added. Mrs. P swung open the door, massive and majestic. "Hello, piss. Hello, vinegar. I'd like to share something with you. Me." Then she threw Coco's purse over the balcony because there are worse things to lose than your life, Mrs. P knew. Muriel suddenly became as eager to please as the 3 o'clock sun. Mr. P sees the new telephone delivered to his room. Its last number peeled off. How many people died here? How many numbers? The reason everyone dies, he is sure, is because it's free. Now, phones cost. No more promises left. No possibilities of fame, love, enjoyment. The waiter with a ring in his ear, at least he has a future. If it's this bad here, what will it be there? And what was the use of heaven anyway? Crying made women feel better, not him. Something was always underneath the tears. Last night he was kissing her hand at the table when the waitress came for the dish, and he dropped Mrs. P and kissed the waitress's hand, smeared with ketchup and asparagus though it was. Then he claimed she stuck it in his face by accident. Now Mrs. P was mad. All love a fountain from within, and kindness to a waitress can't hurt. It gave him a goose, even remembering it. Holding the phone to his ear, he made up a number and wrote it on. If you use your time well, you won't want it to come back, the psychologist said, talking about systems of thought, legal systems, educational systems, marriage systems. The mystic said, in the true sublime, a sharp consciousness of inadequacy is required. The social worker says many people die of disappointment. It's a matter of record. Luck came their way today. There wouldn't be a speaker they could put on a play. Quick, everyone in the costume room, a tableau. Today they could make a tableau. Mr. P chose Goebbels, Mrs. Eva Braun. They called it a look into the 20th century. No one guessed who they were. Who cared for the stony hearts of the unimaginative? The theater was for those still alive in its broth. Rummaging in the trunk, they found some old wedding clothes. How beautiful to find them again. The Victrola played, "I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places." A stopped-up stomach was just stopped-up words, and all books and stories are just about what is lost and what is found, nothing more. Love Not lost now between them, it flowed like the sunset reflected in the dinner knife. Wounded into voice, Mrs. P. wakes. There were Christmas presents on high shelves all around the room, and she dreamed her son was hungry and only one pork chop in the icebox. It'll take a long time to cook. Would her husband wait for his dinner? Where was the nurse? Why did she forget to open all the gifts? Call nurse out loud. Get some medicine, any kind you take. Only one pork chop for three people. If she could only... Presents still in bags in the car. Help! Somebody, medicine, pills could cook the pork chop. Thank you. Perhaps they were meant to be together after all. It looked like he stumbled into her room or tripped on the pink rug there in the doorway. It seemed he was pretending to tie his shoe and fell into her room. Apparently, he was losing his footing when he fell on the bed beside her, coming down hard, almost on top, without explanation. Maybe this was love, she thought, his square shoulders pinning down her breasts, his stubble against her chin. Just because his organ was lying on her open hand didn't mean she'd hold it, but she did. He thought he never wanted to sleep alone again. She worried she'd never sleep alone again. When she was lying there, just looking at the palm trees outside the window, she'd close her eyes and feel tiny angels behind each lid, then behind her ears, down through her veins, her stomach. She thought of a big angel, much like a furniture cover, dropping down on top of everyone she wanted to help. In this way, she went to sleep. Denial and insistence looking so much alike, Mrs. P. was damned if she knew what to do half the time. If someone is wrong and has to be right about something, it's a problem. Like him running down the hall naked and her calling the nurse's aid. The way he sees it, he's free and there's nothing to be embarrassed about to the wrong. The way he sees it also, Mrs. P. just has to be in charge of everything going on in that hall. If they want him to wear clothes, they'll have to write it down. It is not in the rules. Mr. P. listed 20 parts of the human body known and shared by users. He'd written 21 once, but lost that scrap of paper. Mrs. P. says it's okay if you're in the garden or tending the flowers naked, but inside is no place for it. Mr. P. says there are 21 words for the body, probably 22 if he could find that paper. Mrs. P. has a scene in her mind where she apologizes to the tomatoes and the lettuce for sending him out that way. Mr. P.'s mother had once said of him, when he was a baby, he woke up saying no. He was naked at birth. If the relationship between two people makes up a third one, like the family man on TV said, what in the world would it look like? Swollen and crying, pouting and angry, or would it look like a shining gold car bumper rising up from the soil, or maybe it'd be dressed up like a wilderness, camouflaged as a Christmas tree, but it'd be large, wouldn't it, filling up the whole space between them in the lobby of the dining room. They could try to cross the wilderness, but there's always some stickers. Lots of rivulets of light and soft creatures without names running through the branches. No sense thinking about that now. One thing that kept Mr. and Mrs. P. together all day was they couldn't remember the same thing. Like the name for... How silly they felt, thinking the past was real, finding it just a bunch of wrong thoughts. This time of day, the bagel-licious man came. You could have raisin, poppy seed, or onion. Cream cheese was extra. How pleasurable to have been with an ignorant person and not lose anything. Mr. P. stood up to leave the conversation with Louis. His companion had done nothing but fish and sleep the last 30 years of his life. It was infuriating. Mr. P. wanted to fly once, but was too tired to build an airplane. He wanted to fish, but spent too many years crafting the boat. Now this old duck tells him that he went out at dawn each day with his gear and watched light on the water. It enraged Mr. P. past talking. He couldn't justify the waste of time. It made him so angry he wanted to die. People always wanting to do things their way, fish every day. Mr. P. wanted to leave everything and everybody, only taking his faithful anger with him. Mr. P. at dinner didn't know what to do. They gave him a whole chicken without cutting it up, barbecue sauce everywhere on the oilcloth. He threw his plate across the room. That night, he said he was sorry and was confused. He thought that meant they wouldn't remember it. What did it take for the stupid people to let it go? Even though he'd take dinner in his room on a tray for 50 cents more, he couldn't understand why the staff brooded on his throwing dishes. Couldn't they ever let anything go? She wished she had a child, any kind of a child to play with. Now, Mr. P. loved 16-year-olds, anybody's. He sat by the door on Sundays for the great-grandchildren. He wore aftershave lotion, carried pictures of his old boat. What did the boy inside of him hope for? Mrs. P. didn't mind if she didn't have to see it. No sense bringing it up to him. He'd fly into a cage of separateness. Then he'd pretend for 3 days running. He didn't remember her. Someone told him to never make eye contact with a Rottweiler or an enemy. Better for her to go inside on Sundays. That's when she took a wrong turn off the elevator and discovered a swimming pool with long benches. Confused, she thought she was across the street looking into a clubhouse full of people. She couldn't go in because she wasn't a member. Mrs. P. lay down in the shade where later they'd come out to get her. Meditating into light, she asked for a message from God and distinctly heard a voice, "Eat more fruit." If she only had a kitchen available, she could whip up a banana bread, clear her head. Jealousy was a smokescreen, so she wouldn't see how her old boyfriend was, how old, how bald, having a pale day. Better to move into the sun while it lasts. God asked, "Do you blame him for your loneliness, Mr. P? It's yours, not his." They're coming to get her as the quiet clouds darken. The helper, pushing a wheelchair, is saying, "Whenever you hear thunder, lightning has already occurred." We lose more than we find, Mrs. P. told Mr. P. On Thursday, the lady's auxiliary aide, Betty, rushed to tell Mrs. that Mr. had pushed Coco out of the way. An act of love, Mrs. P. knew it. The aide wasn't really an aide, as she had years ago found the pink name tag saying aide, put it on, and ever since acted like one. Everyone went into her for help. Betty found Mrs. P. in her room, singing into a chrysanthemum like a microphone. Betty came to say Mr. P. had pushed Coco. Throughout the afternoon, the body's delicate boat had carried Mrs. P. along its river. Hours and hours going by without her in them. Here comes the aide ruining everything. However, the news was good. Mr. P. just last night or last week had a talking to about how he cut up meat for every lady in the dining room. So by the time he got to Mrs. P.'s, table 17, her dinner was cold. He was perplexed, only trying to be helpful. What could possibly make Mrs. P. happy? Mr. P. decided to hang a bell outside his door. When the missus was happy, she'd ring it. This way he'd know, and in this way they could go on. She always dropped her silverware on the floor to get his attention. But if this had worked, she wouldn't have to be so agitated. The lady's aide said he shouted at Coco, "I hate you!" but then had turned and said, "But don't take that personally." C, cutting up their meat again. That day, Mrs. P went to tell him, "Thank you for pushing Coco, and could he please push Muriel when it was convenient?" There was a crowd outside his door. Mrs. P quickened, rushing her way through, squeezing and shoving. He sat up in bed when he heard her voice. "April Fool!" She loved his humor, pretending to be dead to get on her good side. There are not enough things to say to make people do the right thing. Look at Muriel coming on to Mr. P like a deer eating berries. Yet it seemed to be Mrs. P he liked the best. The way they danced, and they did love to dance. With his head on her chest, Mrs. P a foot taller or he that much shorter, it was just like married people who never talked so that the dream could go on. Out of the goodness of her heart, Mrs. told the doctor next day that Mr. was losing his mind. He said, "Okay, you both are, now shut up." Well, at least she got a good diagnosis. Some people couldn't afford medical help like that. Science working to make lives better and safer every day, the chart said. Mrs. P told Mr. P she hated her own face. He said he loved it. "I came this far for a reason," he said, taking her hand. "I love him," she thought. "Maybe this is what I was put on earth to do." Cover up all the time, cover up. Mr. P was always covering up. When he needed a piece of paper to write on, he tore the top off the window shade and then had to hide the bottom. But where? And how about the time he was cutting the plug off the vacuum cleaner in the hall and had to stop midway because someone was coming? He was only trying to invent electricity. He forgot to tell them it was halfway off. Mrs. P was real nice to him because she didn't show people what he did or where. Then again, she just may be trying to get more flies with honey than vinegar. But what's she going to do with all those flies? He worried. Standing on the balcony outside the dining room hall, he knew he loved her. The sun slanted in, lighting her deep burgundy hair. She was kind to him, holding the elevator door more than once. Besides, she knew all the words to "I'm in love with you, honey," even verse 3. He asked her to marry him. She reminded him they were already married. Oh, that's right, because they had the same pictures in each room. What could he do to make her his again? Twin baseball caps with Pinecrest on them. He'd seen them in the corner store open Wednesdays 2 to 5. They'd wear them to classic movie night. Thursdays, the bulletin board promised. It was the heiress again, every Thursday. No one seemed to notice from week to week. No matter, Mrs. P always loved the scene where Olivia ascended the stairs carrying the gas lantern head high, the guy knocking at the door, knocking and knocking. Mrs. P walked high every Thursday after that. They'd wear their hats. And later the accordion man would serenade the whole place, though he only had one leg. No one mentioned it to him. Mr. P decided to announce their engagement. Some people clapped, some woke up. The accordion man played "Honey." "It's funny, but it's true," went the words. Wouldn't it be fun to have that built into the grave, an automatic song box, so when someone stepped on the grass, it'd start playing, "Loved you from the start, honey, bless your little heart, honey, every day would be so sunny, honey, with you." He'd do it for her. So even if she was underneath the ground, she'd hear and think of him, and no one else. He felt young and alive with possibility.
This is the end of the program material on this side of the tape. Please fast forward your cassette to the end and turn over for side two.